If you have your Bibles, we're going to be turning to James chapter 1 and verse 22. We're going to start there, and then we're going to move on down. I'm just going to kind of give a short recap of all of the points, but we're going to start there in James chapter 1 and verse 22. So the first thing, what's the first thing that must happen? And it can't be but the first thing. I mean, it can't be in no other place. But what's the first condition for profitable Bible study? You guys remember? Salvation. You must be saved. Because God's Word is a spiritual book. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, and I'll just read it. You don't need to necessarily turn there. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So we have to remember that in order to understand God's Word, we must be saved. We must be born again. And through that, when we are born again, God puts a love in our heart for His Word. He gives us an appetite, right? It's just like a baby. Does a baby go on when you have a little infant around? What do they do to get fed? They cry. They get your attention, don't they? He gives us a desire. It says, as in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, there's a desire that God puts in us. And then we have to be willing to work hard. It's not something that's just, I wish that I could lay my Bible under my pillow and I would know everything about it. But it doesn't work by osmosis. It just doesn't work. It takes work. It takes time. And as we get into further into this, after we get past the conditions for profitable Bible study, we're going to start doing some of that work in Sunday school. We will be over on the other side because we'll have to have a table to set our books and stuff on because I want you guys to see and utilize some of this stuff. But we need to have a willingness to work hard. And then we must be wholly surrendered, as we see in, let's go to John chapter 7 and verse 7. John 7, 7. Did I get the right one down? 7:17, I'm sorry. It says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." If you do God's will, then you're going to know about God's will. And that's the thing. We must be totally surrender. Submitting our will to His will. And then last week we looked at James 1:22. It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We must be obedient in doing it. I give you a couple different quotes here. Truth obeyed leads to more truth. We must become, it becomes more real to us when it's lived out, doesn't it? It's just like when you go to a new job and you go through training to learn that new job, but it doesn't make sense until you start doing it. And still you get some time under your belt doing it. Everybody, just like I was telling a young man this week, he says he didn't know how to read a tape measure. He's never been taught. Or if he was taught, he forgot. And I says, everybody has to start somewheres. And the only way to do that, as my wife was a school teacher, she'll say, practice, practice, practice. Isn't that the truth? When we do stuff, it sticks with us when we do it. That's why God says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Truth flees when it is not lived out or stood for. And I did give an illustration of a person. Again, if you go through a class to say, I use the example of the welding class because I went through two vocational ed programs doing welding, and I haven't used. I still remember some of it, but I really haven't used it to its full capacity. So therefore, I'd have to go back and relearn what I had never utilized. If we don't use it, we lose it. And we understand. Are you still there in James 1:22? Still there? There's a couple more verses I want to look at while you're there. It's interesting how this all works out. But in verse 23, it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Do you see that? "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." See, God blesses obedience. But if you fail to use what God has showed us in his word, it's going to just fall by the wayside, isn't it? So today we're coming in, and I give a little bit of last week on the next point, but it's number 6. Come as a child. And this is simply, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. Give you a moment to turn there, but we must come as a child. And that's referring to humility and simplicity. There's something about the innocence of a child. Now, I understand there's a great war waged on children today of trying to corrupt them at a very young age, which in fact ruins the rest of their lives because they're traumatized from the stuff that they're being exposed to. That's why parents aren't being parents today, because kids are being traumatized of some of the stuff that they they're recently, and I want to share this. There's a set of books in the public high school to where the students. This is a story. Somebody put, I don't know who, with a demented mind, satanic, but it's a whole series of stories about the students killing the teachers. This is real. This is in the news. It ought not to be there, but we have the majority of our city council that agree, or the school board that agreed to keep it there. So that tells you where we're at. We need to come to God's word as a child in humility and simplicity. And see, that's the problem with today's world, is they're preying on children and trying to corrupt them. They're trying to brainwash them, so to speak. I mean, now you can't just walk into a public school. They got it locked down all the time. Parents don't have free reign with their children at school anymore. Used to be the parent could go in and sit in the classroom and see what's going on. Now they don't want you there. That's the reality of our society today. And I'm not trying to preach on that, but it's just the simplicity of it being a child. And Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." The world in its wisdom thinks they have everything under control. They think they have everything. But guess what? And I mentioned this last week, and I'll mention it again and again. God is not interested in our opinion. God said it. Whether we believe it or not, it doesn't change it. God's word does not change. He says in Psalm 119, verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's not our place to dictate to what God's word says. We need to get in there and be diligent students of God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to find out what God is trying to tell us. And then we need to do it. So we come to it as children in humility, simplicity. Not full of our own wisdom. See, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you and that believe." So we're seeing we come as a child. And I'm getting ahead of myself. That's point seven. You know, we have to receive God's word as God's word. My page got turned. But we need to have a childlike spirit. A child is not full of his own wisdom. They come looking to learn. Most children want to be like their parents. That's a good thing if the parents are doing what's right. He does not oppose his own notions and ideas to those of his teachers. Kids are to go to school to learn, not to teach, try to tell everybody else what to do. We ought not to come to the Bible seeking confirmation for our own ideas. That's not what God's word is for. We ought not to come to find confirmation for our own opinions. We need to come to God's word as a child. And guess what? We will find the mind of God. We will understand who God is and what he wants us to do. See, there are many people today who cannot see things plainly taught in the Bible. They don't want to believe the truth. They are so full of their own ideas. And we've had people come through this church that come in and try to tell me something different. But what I do my best to turn everybody I deal with back to God's word, because God's word is the very foundation we stand on. It's not about Larry's opinion. It's not that I agree with everything, but you know something? God said it. I need to be obedient to it. And that's the way we ought to be. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 9. And I want to show you something here. Mark chapter 9. We're starting verse 30, chapter 9. So we realize as Jesus is going through his ministry, and throughout his ministry, he was teaching his disciples and preparing them for what was coming in the future. And here he's foretelling about his death and resurrection. In verse 30, it says, "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." I mean, that's pretty plain, isn't it? It's pretty simple. We understand that he's going to die by crucifixion, according to what God's word says. And he's going to rise on the third day. It's pretty simple. What does it say there in verse 32? "But they understood not the saying, and were afraid to ask him." These were his disciples. See, there's the, is this any different than our own inability to comprehend plain statements in the Bible when they run counter to our preconceived notions? God's word says what it does, and it's there for a reason. We must come to Christ like a child to be taught what to do to believe and do, rather than coming as a full-grown person who already knows it all. How many people love people that know it all? I remember growing up as a young man in my late teens, in my early 20s, I would cut into conversations all the time because I thought I knew everything. And I had quite a bit of experience at that time, but not much. I had a gentleman, his name was Mr. Mikesell. He was an older gentleman that I did work for when I was in Buffalo, Wyoming. And I became friends with him and his wife, and met some of their family when they come in for the holidays and all that. This man was never a saved man, but he was in his 70s. He had emphysema. I'm not sure if he smoked or not, but he was on oxygen all the time. And I would always talk to him about things in life because I never really knew my father, never really had a father figure much in my life. And so I kind of looked up to him, and I would go to him and talk to him about things. And guess what? He would tell me whatever it may be, and I don't have any examples in my head right now. He would tell me what to do. I would disagree with him and not do it, but then later come back and tell him you were right. Why was that? Because I didn't have a lick of sense in my mind at that time. He was 70-some years old. He had some life experience, didn't he? Guess what? He knew a few things. And that's what we ought to do. And that's the sadness of today's world, is the younger generation has just cast away the elderly. They don't want nothing to do with them. But yet if they would take time to get to know people and what we can learn from them. It's amazing. We need to come to God as a child, not with our own opinions. Many people are so full of unbiblical theology that it takes a lifetime to get rid of it and understand the clear teaching of the Bible. And some people have been accused of being too straightforward. I've had people tell me that. But guess what? God's word is straightforward. Why cut to the chase? Why beat around the bush? Just get with it. And it means clearly what it says. We need not come to the Bible to find out what we can make it mean, but find out what God intended it to mean. And that's why we're going through this, conditions for profitable Bible study. Why? Because I want to hopefully, through all of this, that we can go away and understand how we can read and study the Bible and learn what God has to say for us. And then maybe it'll help us be profitable in our Christian walk. It'll help us grow spiritually. But we all need to pray, don't we? We need to pray and ask God to help us. To help us to be like a child. Ask God to help us empty us of our own opinions and our own thoughts. And ask God to teach us His mind. To make us ready to receive all that He has to say to us. We need to come to Him like a child. I want to give you an illustration. This is an illustration from the book. So if you have the book, I don't know what page it would be in your book because there are different pages. It's before the seventh, believing God's word is the seventh. So it's that last paragraph before the end of this sixth section. So if you got your books, it's an illustration. I was once talking with a ministerial friend about what seemed to be clear teaching of certain passage. Yes, he replied, but that doesn't agree with my philosophy. This man was sincere, yet he did not have the childlike spirit essential for productive Bible study. We have reached an important point in Bible study when we realize that an infinite God knows more than we do. That our highest wisdom is less than the smartest person in the whole world. Our highest wisdom is less than the knowledge of the most ignorant babe compared with this, with his. And that we must come to him to be taught as a child. We are not to argue with him, but we are so easily and so constantly to forget this point that every time we open our Bibles, we should bow humbly before God and say, Father, I am but a child, please teach me. We need to come to God and ask him to teach us. But we tend to want to go to other books about Bible. We want to go to commentaries. And I'm not saying they're bad things. I think they're good tools. But we need to stay in God's Word. That's why I would highly recommend, if a person has time, to download the app for Through the Bible Radio. But there's some disclaimers I'm going to give you before I recommend that. is they don't, the newer generation that run the program, J. Vernon McGee used the King James Bible. And they still sell the King James Bible. But some of the newer people on the program don't use the King James, but all of the teaching on there that you would listen to, it's a 5-year program, every day of the week, Monday through Friday, he uses the King James so you wouldn't be lost. But I think it's a powerful, powerful tool that a person could use. Why? Because it takes us through the Bible, verse by verse. You know the best way to understand your Bible? Read it. Just read it. Ask God to speak to you. That's why we recommend a yearly program. You read through the Bible once a year. Without a showing of hands, how many has read through the Bible its entirety, cover to cover, and not missed a link? Exactly. The thing is, not very many people have. And that's a problem. That's why there's an ignorance of God's Word among God's people. Why? Because we're not doing it. Hey, guess what? It takes time. I've read through it several times, and guess what? That was probably the most beneficial thing I could have ever done in my walk, in my Christian walk, and as far as studying and understand, having an understanding of God's Word. I'm telling you, if you do the work, God will bless it. If you do the digging, you'll find the gold. God will speak to you. It's real. I can give you the tools to do, but I can't do it for you. Does that make sense? I can teach you how to study. I can teach you and give you the tools that it takes, but you have to do the work. I can't do it for you. And that's one thing we have to realize. So we need to come as a child. We need to come and ask God to teach us. We need to, you know something else that you would get more out of the preaching and the teaching when you come, is if you read your Bible and spent time with God. Because guess what? He's gonna touch on you. Did you know? I know this may come to as a surprise. Did you know that I don't talk to any of the preachers we have about any of you guys? I never do, and I wanted to declare that, because you know something? God speaks to them, not me. It's amazing how many times we've had preachers come through and they'll be dealing with the same thing I've been dealing with, and I never told them I was dealing with it. So leave it. Trust the fact that God is working. And God will. And if something speaks to your heart from the message, it's because God is doing it, not because of me. I don't know every detail of your life. No, we're trying to get to know everybody better. But I don't get to know you just so I could preach at you. We depend upon what God says. And I'm telling you, if you read your Bible, if you read your Bible regularly, prayed and asked God to speak to your heart, and you come to church ready to receive, ask God, say, please give me something from the... And guess what? It'll happen. And I'm telling you, if you do it, you'll grow leaps and bounds spiritually. You'll have a greater understanding of God's Word. But again, it's something that has to be practiced, doesn't it? We must be doers of the Word and not hearers only. I'm telling you, this is some good practical lessons that we can learn if we just follow through and do them. And I understand life gets busy. You want to see busy? I have a busy life. My poor wife has to deal with my busyness all the time. And guess what? I'm working on changing that. And another thing, I'm working on prioritizing what's most important in my life. Up until the last, what? How long have I known you? 8.5 years now? The dating process, and then we've gone on 6 years of marriage in May. That poor lady's put up with me the whole time. I'm being serious. I'm not the easiest man to live with. But I'll give you some examples, and I'm not telling you anything I wouldn't say in public. But when we first got married, the poor lady, I would never call her and tell her when I was coming home for supper. She's excited about me coming home. She's got supper hot and ready on the table, and I'm not calling her.
It took a little time, and I started realizing how important it was to start communicating with my wife. Now, usually late afternoon, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm getting a hold of her and kind of giving her an idea when I'm coming home. Now, guess what? I still don't always make it home on time. I'll say, well, I don't have very much to do, sweetheart. And then I'm working and it's taking longer than I told her. So I'm not perfect yet. But I'm a lot better than I used to be. It's just, we have to follow through. But it takes time. We need to come as a child to God and pray and ask Him to help us understand His Word. And we'll learn. The sad thing is I forgot what my example I was talking about. I forgot where I was headed. So that's why I stopped, okay? So don't feel... Don't. She can give some example. I'm telling you. I'm not the easiest person. But if we do be doers of the Word, come as a child, the next part we'll get started on and we'll have to continue next week. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the bad thing sometimes as I'm going down a trail and I'm doing something and then I forget where I'm headed and then it's like, what just happened, you know? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We read it just a while ago, but this kind of goes along. This is the next number 7. The seventh condition of studying the Bible for the greatest profit is that we study it as the Word of God. We need to come to God believing that we have God's Word in our hands today. And that's many other lessons, the inspiration, the preservation of God's Word, and goes on. We can teach on all that. But do we believe that it's God's Word? Because a lot of people don't. We need to come believing that it's God's Word. As we see there in verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us," they received it. And how do we know they received it? If we go back to verse chapter 1, it talks about them turning to God from idols. That was the result of them accepting God's word, accepting the gospel from the Apostle Paul. But they received it as the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We must believe that it's God's word. He who does not believe the Bible is the word of God should be encouraged to study it. The more you study, guess what? The more you believe it. Because it becomes more real. It becomes a reality. The more you, for me, or I guarantee you, you can do it for a month, 6 months, or a year. If you spent time in God's Word daily, praying and asking God to speak to your heart, I guarantee you, you're not going to be the same person you started as if you do that. But it's like anything, when you go to the doctor and you pay for those expensive pills you take and you don't take them, what good is it? It doesn't do you no good, does it? Because trust me, when you're in pain or something's going on, you need something to change, you got to go get some pills. Antibiotics, painkillers, whatever. And if you don't use them, guess what? It doesn't do you no good. Same thing with God's Word. If we don't use it, if we don't read it, study it, memorize it, meditate upon it, it will not do us any good. So studying the Bible as the Word of God involves 4 things. You see that on, well, I'm on page 357, which is a different page. I'm not sure what page it is. 110 in your guys' book. Well, no, they're different books. So I don't know. It's believing God's word is a section under conditions for profitable Bible study. The interesting thing about those books that I give you guys, I went back to buy more of them and they're out of stock.
and they've been out of stock for a while. So I can't get them right now, so I don't know exactly. I didn't keep track of, so I have a copy of this book here has five different books in it from the same author. But studying the Bible as the Word of God involves four things, and we're probably just going to deal with the first thing. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. It's just like having
I can describe this because I've had a few of them. I love prime rib, but I like ribeyes too. And if you guys ever had a good steak, and it smells good. You take that one bite of it, it tastes good.
The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." We have to actually do something. We have to get in God's Word. And He says, taste and see. Hey, guess what? If you don't, it may smell good. It may look good. But if you don't taste it, guess what? You don't know, do you? It's the same thing. I'll give you another example. I'll get you guys going. The white chocolate raspberry cheesecake. It was delicious, wasn't it? But you'd never have known if you didn't take a taste of it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, we need to, in Romans chapter 9 and verse 20, says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Are we here to question God? No. What was the chapters in Job? You were just mentioning it. So my wife was sharing with me, and it would be good for all of us to go to that passage. In Job, and I'm not going to turn there now. I'm talking about just for a reference. You can write it down. She'll give me a reference here in a minute. But we need to come to God's Word unquestioning, accepting it. We need to accept it as it is. The Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 9, I'm going to back up a few verses. It says, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, and that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Just like we have a society today that accepting of this sodomy is what it is. They can't figure out what they are, even though they were born a male or born a female. They're causing utter confusion among kids. And they're doing things today that are changing them physically and they can't go back. They're destroying these people. Who are we to question God? God made us. He made us what He made us. Did you have a choice what family you were born into? I didn't. Some may be born into a rich family. Most of us are probably poorer than dirt. I mean, that's just the facts of life, but that's the way God made it. We just have to pick up and go on, don't we? It's just something we have to accept. Who are we to question Him?
It's Job 38 through Job 41.
So Job chapters 38 through 41. It's good to read that. The reason for that, it's where Job is talking with God, and God is setting him straight. Let's put it that way. God created the universe. God created everything we see. Now, He didn't create sin. He allowed it, but He did not create sin. He allows man to have a freedom of choice. But we need to come to God with unquestioning acceptance of his word. It's not our place to question him. But guess what? There's no better place than to be in God's perfect will. God will bless your life, and you'll never be more happy, more joyous, and it's a joy that nobody can steal from you. Why? Because your focus and your desires are what God wants. It's his will. And that's as far as I'm going to go today because I'm out of time. But we're going to pick up there. We've got three more aspects we want to deal with about studying the Bible as God's Word. Simply believing it as God's Word. But I think we get the point is we find that real human wisdom, when it finds infinite wisdom, bows before it and says, speak what you will, and I will believe. When we come to the point and realize who God really is, then guess what? We step in line, don't we? We realize who he is and who we are. And one verse I want to leave with you is John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Did you hear that? That's John the Baptist said that. Referring to Christ and referring to himself. He must increase, but I must decrease. We need to put God in his rightful place in our life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings.